Minister.
The BRICS summit in Sandton this week showed a glory pic of five men holding hands and smiling broadly. In studio to discuss what the BRICS men might have achieved and how their power could affect the world order is Patrick Bond, political economy lecturer at Wits University. Patrick, welcome. So what do you think the five presidents achieved at the summit?
Well, this is a very important week because don't forget that the week before, Vladimir Putin ran rings around Donald Trump, and
yes.
Trump is in a trade war with China after perhaps settling with Europe, you never really know, and it means that it might be the Chinese sort of stance that five countries can go to the WTO with power and legitimacy against Donald Trump, South Africa amongst them, because of the unfairness of the steel and aluminium tariff increases and the likelihood of car tariff increases that will really demolish a big chunk of our heavy industry if the Chinese dumping of steel hasn't done that already. And then there's the BRICS New Development Bank loans that were announced this week, along with the big China Development Bank loan to ESCOM for the Kasili. So these are the sort of big picture items. But I think socially and personally, they all seem to get on. And don't forget, when they met in Xiamen last September, it wasn't even clear that Modi would come because of the fight between India and China
yes.
at the Dauklands yeah. border. Now, it just turns out that's heating up just by coincidence right now. But I think the essence of this BRICS is that they're stitching together with personal charisma a bloc and a lot of bureaucrats and academics and youth and civil society and trade unions in support of that.
Who is Kingpin?
Oh, it's definitely Xi Jinping. Now, he's just also been named the premier for life if he wants to be. If he wants to stay on in the job, there's no term limit. There was 10 years prior to that. He has also established a Belt and Road expansion strategy to his west, which doesn't dip down quite as far as South Africa, but does include the Djibouti military base and the rail line to Addis, and possibly in Lamu, Kenya, some coal-fired power plant, very controversial, and an oil line, and the Tanzania Bagamoyo port, which is supposed to be bigger than Durban's when it's built, for about $12 billion. Will that mean Mozambique and then South Africa also get into the Belt and Road orbit, maybe expand shipping trade? That's the big question, because all of the tendencies are pretty negative.
Is there a real concern, or is it already here, Patrick, that China owns Africa?
Well, yeah, the ownership of something where you've lent and now you have to start collecting is the tricky problem. You know, they've done that in Sri Lanka with a big port. They couldn't make the port work economically, and so basically China has foreclosed and taken a big chunk of land and a port, and that might mean they push all their ships through that port, not Colombo. And I think for much of Africa, think of the debt crises in Mozambique, and of course Zimbabwe can't pay its loans for 20 years or so, Angola, Nigeria. Because they're in so much debt, after borrowing from the Chinese, it's difficult for them even to make payments to SAA. That's one of the reasons our national airline is in
Yeah, and I want to interrupt you because I want to get on to global politics. It's thoroughly intriguing. On the surface, it appears that Trump is cozy with the Russians. He's warming up to previous foe, the EU, but he's still at trade odds with China, who are actually big pals with Russia. Is that a good summation or fake news?
Yes, no, you're capturing a surface level perception that Donald Trump wants to give of keeping everything in play and in turmoil. We mustn't ever forget that he's the greatest con man in world history. So if he signs a deal today, it might be broken tomorrow. His more durable allies than Putin, because of all the turmoil in the United States, FBI and State Department, they don't really want to have anything to do with the Russians. But it is a closer relationship with India and Brazil. Brazil has a sort of coup government that took over illegitimately, but they're closer to the US. And then Modi, Narendra Modi, is very close. It means the BRICS can't really speak geopolitically with unity. They may, if there's a trade war, say, as they did this week, that we want free markets, we want liberalization, we want the WTO to be stronger. And Trump may even be forced out or just leave, as he did with Paris climate, even the WTO. But don't forget, even before the trade war is blowing up on all of us, hurting South Africa quite a lot, as many products that used to be bought by the US now will be displaced under pricing here. Dumping of steel is the most extreme. But we were already facing much lower trade to GDP ratios all over the BRICS, actually much lower in the past, say, 10 years than the rest of the world, say For China, from 69% of GDP down to 38%, for us from 77% to 53% at present. So we're all finding a need to grow internally because the world trading system's sort of not packing up, but certainly stagnant.
Should the world be concerned of this very good relationship between China and Russia, which is really the east of the world?
Well, yes, if it's a geopolitical one that includes military, I would be very concerned because there's so many hot spots that especially Russia's gotten into in the Middle East, in Ukraine. These are spots where China's long distance away. It's not involved, thank goodness. But, I mean, you know, China might have a South China Sea war. Those are dangerous sites for politics. The North Korean nuclear situation may be under control. We just don't know because there's just so much fluff in the air around Donald Trump. What's maybe more durable is that China and Russia are starting various non-dollar trade regimes that would include energy, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, and especially with Belt and Road doing infrastructure lines. That's the source of other conflicts, India and China over Kashmir, because part of the Belt and Road goes right through there. The biggest dilemma is, will Donald Trump just walk out of all the multilateral institutions? They still have enormous power in the Bretton Woods and the IMF and World Bank. The BRICS are coming up with that power by buying more votes, although South Africa's left behind. We lost 20%.
So, you know, as an expert and analyst on politics around the world, do you think that the world is in a more dangerous place nowadays?
Oh, much more, with Donald Trump and especially his two key advisors, Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, who's a kind of born-again Christian with a bit of a maniacal streak. He'd just come from the CIA. But even worse would be John Bolton, the National Security Advisor, who's just joined, and he's regularly threatening war. Now, the tweets this week were terrifying because Iran somehow got under Trump's skin, and he's tweeting in capital letters, "We will destroy you like no one's ever been destroyed." We've heard that rhetoric with North Korea. There is an interest by Trump and his two top advisors to start a war before the elections, which are in November, because that's when the Republicans may lose the Congress, certainly the House, and possibly even the Senate. So they're going to try to get some patriotic. There was a funny movie about this called Wag the Dog, to say, let's distract the attention and get some patriotism. That's the danger this year.
Oh, gosh. So maybe it's the best place to be is in South Africa.
I think it's fine to be here, but don't forget that the BRICS have brought us some thuggish partners,
and that
that includes some very corrupt deals, especially since we remember from 2013 in Durban, the same China Development Bank doing a $5 billion loan that funded a great many corrupt relationships with locomotives, cranes, and the Guptas. So let's hope those are cleaned
up. Well, maybe
away.
It's Mauritius. We have to leave it there. Patrick, thanks so much.
Thank you.
That was Professor Patrick Bond from Wits University.